How often do you go to the salon, Ireland,
for your hair?
Once every 5 or 6 weeks.
And how long does it take you to get in the chair and get out of there? By the time you get in, get in the chair, and your hair is clipped.
30 minutes.
That's it?
Yeah.
Boy, don't go to a black barber.
Why, you in there for an hour?
Oh, 2 hours. You're still waiting to get in the chair.
See, really? I just go to a barber. I don't go to a stylist.
How long does it take you to get in and out?
15 minutes.
No way.
Yeah.
What is it with black barbershops?
Antonio, the barber in Venice, I go to him all the time.
Is that the guy you cheated on and he found out?
No, that was Sasha.
Or hey, what about in the Latino barbershop?
About an hour. 45 minutes.
Man, it'll take an hour.
Yeah.
Brothers are talking. Here it is. Snip, snip, snip. Man, can you believe the Lakers and LeBron James? Snip, snip, snip. Man, the Warriors. Ain't nobody going
to
beat
like
the Warriors.
Coming to America.
Exactly.
It's like that barbershop.
Unbelievable.
That's very funny.
Every black barbershop.
And the
like
Latino
that.
One? Damn, fool. What's up with LeBron, man?
That's so funny.
All right, so Bourbon got his Bruin panties in a twist this morning. What
is wrong
happened
with
there?
My panties in a twist. Why
what
do
happened
I have to go there? Why
what happened
like
with the Bruins? You're so upset.
I just think that they should have been. They should be higher up in this ranking.
Who do you think they should be ranked higher than?
I think they should be ranked higher than Ole Miss, Alabama, and probably Clemson.
Well, Ole Miss and Alabama are in the SEC. We all know that the SEC gets preferential treatment.
LSU has two losses. They probably shouldn't be as high as they are.
LSU. I do not get LSU in the...
So you guys are saying...
At number seven with two
LSU
losses.
If LSU played UCLA, you guys would take UCLA?
You have to judge people on their resumes.
That's what I meant. Well...
They got whacked by Tennessee, who got whacked by Georgia.
Right.
Right.
So why would you think LSU deserves to be ahead of one-loss teams?
Well, it depends what the one-loss teams are.
They're playing in the SEC.
For example.
But that's the only reason.
Georgia destroyed Oregon 49-3. LSU was lopsided, but it wasn't 49-3.
It was like 48-20, something like that.
Yeah. It was,
but
I mean.
But lopsided.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama's out of it. Why is LSU not out of
it? What's Alabama at?
Alabama's nine.
Well, LSU beat Alabama.
Yeah, LSU did beat, so they should be ahead, but Alabama's really not going to make the playoff.
Yeah, but would you really rank UCLA ahead of Alabama?
Well, I'm going to take certain teams off the board. So Georgia's clearly number one. Ohio State's clearly number two. Now, does the Ohio State-Michigan loser make the Final Four?
Yes.
Not the loser.
Michigan.
Why would you not
the
think the loser?
The loser's out?
Absolutely it will.
No.
See, I think that should
when you
be
lose,
for a playoff spot.
If you're the three spot and you lose to the two spot or the two spot loses to the three spot, you're going to stay there with one loss when everybody else
Possible.
Has one loss.
Because I think that you've got to reward the Pac-12 champion
no, you don't.
If they have one loss.
If they have one loss, I think you do. TCU, if they win out, they're in.
Yeah.
And that's I don't think that's a true statement either, though. If you the one loss Pac-12 champion does not automatically get in. It
no,
really depends.
I don't think
Oregon gets in because they got smoked by Georgia. So why would you want to see that
but
again?
When
USC would get in.
When
I do think
SC
USC a one
beats
loss
UCLA
USC would get in.
And then beats Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, to me that's a Final Four team.
If whoever wins the Pac-12 championship, if it has to be either UCLA or USC to get in. I don't think Oregon
Michigan,
gets in.
You Michigan know, is terrible. Every time Michigan goes to the Final Four, they get waxed. Just like Notre Dame.
Greg, I think you're right. The more I think about it, Oregon, you can't send a team that lost 49-3
you can't.
To the playoff.
Yeah, no. We'll beat them. We'll dispense
so
them.
That doesn't count. So now it's between UCLA and USC, and UCLA would then have to beat USC and beat a one-loss Oregon to even get close to in. USC, however, has the easier road. They just have to not lose again the rest of the
day. Yeah, don't lose
but
again.
But their defense is terrible. They want the brand of USC more
but
than UCLA.
This
all
has
three
always
of
been...
them, you have to say, Oregon, USC, UCLA, if they lose, they're out.
Well, yes.
So,
yeah,
absolutely.
And by the way, and UCLA does not have a prize-winning defense either. I mean, this is Lincoln Riley's recipe. It's always been score, 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 score.
Right, but I mean,
it's not a defensive-minded team.
They're letting bad teams stay close at the end of games. Cal is a really, really bad team, and they barely beat.
Yeah, they hung around.
And Arizona hung around. They're a really,
but I mean, like
really
UCLA gave up 26 points in the second half this week.
Yeah, they did.
USC's
and they still
MO
won by two
just
touchdowns.
Outscore everybody,
and they might be able to. I mean, they almost did it to Utah.
So, Michael, how do you feel about storming the field? Storming the field. There's a story out of the SEC. The SEC has penalized LSU because they stormed the field after beating Alabama, and they were fined $250,000. What do you think of storming the field?
I love it. I think it's part of the college experience. It's fun. Geez, what is wrong with these so-called grown-ups to take the fun out of the game?
You know,
so I was one time when I was working at KCAL.
Did you ever storm the field?
Well, I was at a UCLA game, and I'm sitting at the press table courtside. And Mark Dellens, who is the sports information director, taps me on the shoulder with about 3 minutes to go, and he goes, hey, just a heads up, we're going to let the students rush the court. And I went, why? We've never done that. And he said, we want to start doing it. We want to start. We want to start having fun and letting people rush the field. I'm for it too. Until somebody gets hurt or gets out of control.
Yeah.
I think it's fun for the fans.
Exactly.
All right. And joining us right now is the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Coach Sean McVay. Coach, how you doing, man?
Good.
Sean, you broke up a little bit there. You got us okay?
Yep, I got you guys.
Okay. So let's start with what happened down in Tampa. I thought you guys had that game. And then in the fourth quarter, it became really hard on your offense. You guys weren't able to get first downs in the fourth quarter. What happened offensively in the fourth?
Yeah, really, you know, they did a good job, but there were some things, you know, just execution-wise that were not in alignment with what we're accustomed to and some things that didn't go the way that we wanted. And, you know, sometimes that's how sports go, and it's been a challenging year in some of those regards.
So third and five with – you know, you get the first down, the game is essentially over. Why did you call the play that you called the Darrell Henderson run?
Yeah, because I felt like based on the flow of the game, you know, you ensure that the clock is going to run on that play. Chance that you pop it, but then also the confidence at which if you don't convert, Riley Dixon has been punting the ball pretty well that day. They had no timeouts left if you end up, you know, forcing them to use that on that last sequence. And for them to go 60 yards in 44 seconds, felt like that was going to be, if we didn't convert, the best best way that we ended up being able to win the football game, and it didn't work out in that situation right there. But you know, those are decisions that are based on the flow. You know, if it was back and forth and there was a lot of offensive production, then probably it's a little bit different narrative. But I felt like the way that, you know, certainly you're trying to convert, but I felt like the highest percentage of, you know, converting while also ensuring the clock runs, and then if you do have to punt it away, they've got no timeouts and a long field to go. That was kind of just the thought process there.
Do analytics have anything to do with that, or is that just the way you felt like you had to? Because I don't understand analytics in the NFL. I know you guys are using them, but was that analytics based?
No, that was based on the feel for the flow of a game, and not sure what the percentages would have been if you say you try to throw it, or you know. But I think in a lot of instances, you know, you don't. You don't totally ignore those things, but I think, you know, feeling the flow of the game and what had occurred up to that point is in a lot of instances what's served us well here, and that was a situation that it didn't. And, you know, I can handle those types of things if I feel like the thought process is right.
All right, we're talking to Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams. Sean, we know you announced to the media today that Matthew Stafford has entered concussion protocol. We don't know whether or not he'll be able to play on Sunday, but if he can't go... is it automatic that John Wolford gets the start, gets the ball in that situation? And the reason I ask is, I really liked Bryce Perkins in the preseason. I assume you did too. He did some really nice stuff. And I would just love to see him out there, and that's nothing against John. If Matthew can't go, is there a pecking order, or would you consider playing both guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're not ready to rule Matthew out is the number one thing. And then, you know, we'll evaluate, you know, all options that we think is best, but certainly not ready to totally rule him out, and there is confidence in both those guys that you mentioned.
Do you believe it? Coach Sean McVay is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. You know, I always say with you guys in the 49ers that styles make fights. For whatever reason you have played, the Rams have been really, really good against Arizona. Is that a case of styles make fights?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You know, I think each game's its own separate entity. You know, I can understand, you know, what you're saying, but I think especially this year, you know, every single game, you know, we've just got to, you know, do the best that we can with some of the things that we're, you know, working through. And, you know, you can't take anything for granted. This has been a great opportunity to really see how you handle some real adversity and just keep swinging, fighting, stay together, stay connected with these guys. Let them know how much you care about them and just want to see them, you know, continue to attack every single day with the right mindset and mentality. And we'll see if we can get this thing flipped in the right direction. But I'm not taking anything for granted. I understand what you are saying. We got tremendous respect for the Cardinals, and we got to be ready to go to try to go attack an opportunity to get a win.
Sean McVay's with us. Sean, after the game, Jalen Ramsey was frustrated. He said some stuff about the offense. I got to tell you, I had no problem with anything he said. I like guys that are super competitive and that will put all the cards on the table. But you're the coach. Did you have any problem with what Jalen said after the game?
Absolutely not. We're all competitive. I'm right there with Jalen. And I think we all understand exactly the context at which he meant it, you know, in terms of wanting the guys to have the expectation, the confidence to be able to close it out. And, you know, I know that he is so supportive of his teammates. He's an ultimate competitor. He's the same exact way, whether he's talking to his DBs or whether he's talking to himself in terms of responding from some different things. So I have total confidence and trust in knowing exactly where that came from. And it was from the right intentions. And, that didn't bother me at all. That's a guy that really cares, and he cares about his teammates. And I'm fully supportive of Jalen.
Let me ask you one more thing about the end of the Tampa game. We hear a lot about prevent defense, how obviously you don't want to give up a big play. If you had that to do over again, that final sequence, and let's face it, Tom Brady might be the best ever at that 2-minute drill, so that was part of this too. But it seemed to me that normally the prevent defense, the way I understand it, is you don't give up the sidelines and you don't give up the big play. You guys seem to give up the sidelines. If I gave you a do-over, would you have done it differently, or did Brady just be Brady on that?
I don't know. They did some good things, but there were some instances where we didn't quite have the communication and the understanding of some of the calls that we had made in that scenario and situation where got a chance to be able to get a guy rolled up to try to be able to prevent that. So, you know, football is an imperfect game. You know, that's what you love so much about it is there's 22 moving parts on every single snap. There were some scenarios where we absolutely wanted to be able to do what you're talking about. But, you know, 44 seconds, you know, there is an opportunity for them to still be able to get off consecutive plays and keep the ball in bounds. But you definitely want to prevent some of those clock stoppages, as you alluded to. And in some of those instances, we weren't exactly doing what we were supposed to, and that's where we, you know, we just got to continue to be able to tighten up the screws and make sure that we're all on the same page, players and coaches alike.
Sean, obviously trouble running the football this year. Cam Akers was gone, now he's back. What's the role you envision for him, and how do you envision this rushing game moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, we just got to be able to get it going. We got to get some continuity. You know, for you to be able to run the football efficiently, you know, it truly does take all 11, and then you got to get opportunities. You can't go three and out as many times as we did. So there were some positive bright spots, you know, where Darrell had some good hits. I thought the short yardage conversion Cam Akers had was good. You know, the things as far as the running back rotation is, you know, kind of as the week evolves and unfolds, we'll continue to evaluate that. But the more that we can get both those guys involved and get them their touches, the better that we are. But in order for you to be able to do that, you have to be efficient and get more snaps off, sustain drives. And those are some of the things that we just haven't done good enough consistently over the course of these first 8 games. We've seen it in glimpses, but ultimately none of that stuff really matters. We've got to be able to move forward and focus on how we try to change that narrative for ourselves and what we believe we're capable of.
Last thing for you. When will you know, when will we know about Matthew Stafford and his availability for Sunday?
It's a good question. You know, the concussion protocol is something that, you know, you want to take the appropriate steps. to be able to give you true clarity. I mean, maybe a little bit later on in the week, but he's got to go through the necessary steps to be able to, you know, get medically cleared. That's a very, very important process that we have total respect for. And it would be sometime later on in the week. And, you know, sometimes those things could lead all the way up until, you know, whether it be the day before or prior to kickoff.
All right. Well, listen, Coach, I will be there. Section 246 on Sunday. Excited for the game. Thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate it, as always.
Okay.
Thank you, Sean.
Coach Sean McVay. So now Michael's here.
Yep.
And Michael, how would you rate the toughness of that interview?
That was a good question. He actually told you, actually had a good question at the end about Matthew Stafford. So no complaints.
What about the what were you thinking on that one play?
I love that. Yeah. Put him on the spot.
Exactly.
You're learning from me, Mace.
Yes, I'm
the
learning.
Bahamian grill master.
Interviewing skills. That's from right. Michael Thompson.
Hey, Mace, why did Adele cross the road?
Adele.
Why did Adele cross the road? I don't know.
To say hello from the other side.
Hey,
Mace. Hello from the other what kind of concert? Side. What kind of concert only costs 45 cents?
I don't know.
A 50 cent concert featuring Nickelback. Hey, Mace.
I like that one.
That one really
Mace,
got
what,
them.
What did the grape say when it got crushed?
I don't know.
Nothing. It just let out a little wine. Mace likes these. He likes them. I feel like Sally Field. You like me.
Well, those are good, Michael. All right. I like those. All right. Coming up next, there's been...
Jorge sent me a funny one, but can't sit on the air.
Yeah,
People can take it wrong.
Yeah, so
everybody's getting canceled.
Yeah. Unbelievable confusion on Twitter, and the guy that runs it is sort of screwing the whole thing up. We'll talk about that because there's a bunch of fake news. I hate to use the expression fake. Fake tweets out there. And a couple of people got suckered on him. We'll talk about that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, tomorrow we're going to make it fun out there at Bastards Canteen. And I don't mind Morales live imaging. I think he's been kind of AWOL. I was at the game with him on Saturday. Michael, did you watch the LAFC game?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Great game. Yeah. So I watched it with him. He would not shut up the entire time. But I like the live imaging. I'm totally good with that.
Well, tomorrow he's just going to make fun of me for not being there. It'll be easy.
That's right.
Did you sit in the 3252?
No. You've got to be one of the 3,252 people to get into it.
You're Steve Mason.
Yeah, I know, but there can only be 3,252.
Hey, Michael, I like the tweet you had. What does LAFC stand for?
Los Angeles FN Champions.
Yeah.
There you go. I like that.
But FN, I don't curse. FN was for footballing. Footballing champions.
So
not
in
the FN you're thinking about.
In the Mason and Ireland Mafia today, Michael, you're being described as on fire, the Bahamian king of comedy.
Whoa, they put me up there with Fluffy?
Apparently they do. Apparently they do.
Wow, that's the funniest man.
Somebody says, "Hey, are you sure your neighbors aren't murdered? 30-plus days seems ridiculous." I should check.
Well, you'll be smelling something.
I did ring the bell.
You'd be smelling a little foul.
Yeah. This is Dude in Slow. Going to throw this out there. Watched Chinatown for the fifth time last night because Mason turned me on to it. Night before my actual favorite movie of all time, Casablanca. Understand I'm born in 1974. Culver City, both movies timeless. Yeah, they are both timeless. I watched Chinatown not that long ago. It holds up really, really well.
What was the other one?
Casablanca.
Yeah. Both very similar.
Yeah, very similar. And let's see, one other thing. This is about the gambling. What kind of dope of a parent is actually worried about their kid gambling online? First of all, you need an active bank account and proof of ID. So if your kid has access to that, then how about you do better supervising your kid so they wind up gambling?
It's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Elon Musk did this weird thing last night. He all of a sudden decided.
All of a sudden. You always say it wrong.
All of a sudden.
All us of a sudden. It's like Ireland with his collapse.
Who, yeah, the English
collapse.
Teacher?
Ambulance.
Or a parade.
Yeah. Oh, while we're here, we're talking about this. Is it timeouts or times out?
Timeouts. You talk about it in a big
game?
In
a football game. Times out or timeouts?
Timeouts.
Or time
like out. They have three timeouts left.
Yeah, if you're talking about plural.
Three times out left.
But if you call a
no, three timeouts.
Because Pete Arbogast says times out.
Times yeah, I've out. Never heard anybody else do that.
Yeah, that's just a Pete
thing. Timeouts.
I told you, Mace, you were not going to win that argument.
Some people probably say it.
Yeah, you.
Pete.
You and Pete.
Pete Arbogast says it.
How do you do?
How do you do?
By the way, speaking of announcers, how is Dave Dalholm's goals goal announcement when someone scores. Does he go crazy like that, or he just go goal?
Yeah.
Well, does he do the Spanish? Did he do the Spanish interpretation?
No, no, no. Not as bad as the Spanish guy. I thought that Spanish call was great. Here it is.
The ground to Elias Sanchez on the far side. LAFC trailing 3-2. Tiki dragging it to the end line. Palacios keeps it in play. To Bale in the middle. Goal! Gareth Bale has tied it up! Gareth Bale has tied it up!
His voice cracked.
It's 3-3! Jump for LA Football Club, ole! Ole!
That's a great call.
Jose Cifuentes, Cheeky Palacios, dug it out. They did not quit, and Gareth Bale was in the middle waiting for it. And Gareth Bale delivered. It's 3-3!
Okay, so do you have the final call of the game? This is this is Denholm's great.
Here's with the shootout.
Yeah, this is the penalty kicks when we won it.
Here's the cup. If Elias Sanchez can put this away, LAFC will win. Sanchez for MLS Cup. Ilie, the right foot. Goal! Yeah! They did it. They did it. LAFC have won MLS Cup 2022 on penalties.
That's great. That is great.
LA Football Club.
Do you have the Ramsey Sandoval call? Now,
is that the one with the goal?
Yeah. This call is probably the best play-by-play call of a goal I've ever heard.
Not what? All these guys, they rip off Anders Cantor.
I know, but
listen to him.
I heard him. He's good.
He does a whole bunch of stuff in addition to the 20-second thing. Here it is.
Can anybody do that?
No.
Have you guys tried to go that long?
No, I can only go like 10.
10 seconds?
You went 20.
No, wait, John doesn't need to ruin his voice. Yeah, Mace, let's see how long you can go.
Wait, who's going to time it?
I got it right here.
You're right here.
All right, Mace, take a deep breath. Relax. A few deep breaths. Don't stress yourself. You got to be calm. Because if you're too hyper, you'll get out of breath quicker.
Okay, here we go.
Pretend you're smoking a joint.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Goal!
That's good.
20.
Wow.
That's 20 seconds. Nice job, man.
You're like an opera singer.
Yes. I could not do 20.
You couldn't do 12. No way. Yeah, no,
that was really good.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah.
I'll be the guy that sits next to Denholm, and I'll just jump in when there's a goal, and I'll do my goal call.
There was a guy when Mike Tyson used to have press conference fights that would just stand in the back and yell guerrilla warfare over and over and over.
He was the hype man.
And but he wouldn't say anything else.
Guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla warfare. Yeah.
Mike probably paid him $1 million a year to do that.
And then like you'd 5 minutes later and some just out of the back. Guerrilla warfare.
I remember that guy. Oh, he was funny. Oh, God. It worked. Tyson knocked everybody out.
Speaking of, okay, so I've got crazy people in my family. And I mean nutty. So you were talking about people in the background. We used to, my Aunt Kay, my dad's sister, used to go wherever Tiger Woods was playing in a blonde wig. She would go to wherever he was playing in a blonde wig. So if we were watching the game or the match, the tournament, we would look and there's Aunt Kay wearing a blonde wig. It's the most random thing, but 100% real.
Why?
Never got an answer.
Was this before or after his
way before. Early days of Tiger Woods. You know, my grandfather is buried in a Tiger Woods
red
sweater. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And a Notre Dame cap.
Nice.
My dad, grandpa.
So I was listening to a podcast today with Rick Riley.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And,
is he still living like in Italy or
half
something?
Half the year.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for him.
But
it's hot in here, by the way. I there's like moss growing on the walls and stuff.
I can only feels turn good it down to me. Yeah.
It's like the jungle.
Yeah.
Where I grew up.
It really is. I'm like, I gotta.
Well, that's because you went for 20 seconds and you got
true.
Hot.
That's
why.
Yeah, you
got hot.
That's right.
But Riley says that Tiger Woods is the most talented golfer he's ever seen, has more shots, but Jack Nicklaus is the greatest golfer ever because he's won more majors and he didn't screw up his life. You agree?
No. Jack Nicklaus won 19 majors, or 18. 18.
Yeah.
But you got to look at the depth of the field. It was with Tiger's era. Tiger had to deal with guys from Europe, Asia, a Latino, more variety of skills, where Jack played on a segregated tour.
Not really. He had to go up against Seve. He had to go up against...
No, Seve didn't play in Jack's era when Jack was dominating.
Who do you think hit the ball in the water to let Jack win the Masters in 86?
No, Jack was 46 by that time, but in his 20s, when Jack was in his prime, he didn't have the depth of the tour.
Well, he had to play against Gary Player.
That's two or three guys he had to beat. Tiger had to beat 30 guys.
Wait a minute, you're saying because the tour wasn't integrated?
Heck yeah! You know how many black golfers were good enough to play on a tour and they wouldn't let them?
How many
and
black
Nicklaus
golfers
and Palmer
on the,
never spoke
on the tour
up?
Right now?
Not very many.
But back in those days, and Charlie Ziffer and those guys, more guys were playing. But now, you're right, there's no golfers who are qualified,
it's basically. Harold Varner and
Tiger.
Yeah,
that's it. But back in the 60s and 70s, they had a bunch of black golfers who weren't allowed to play.
Money.
It was segregation.
To play golf.
It was discrimination and race.
Sure it was. I mean,
that's all it was.
We one time were out at Sherwood Country Club.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
And we had a black
producer
guy.
Yeah.
And
asked him to go through the kitchen.
No, when?
Probably 95, 96.
No way.
Mason and I left.
We left. We said, we're not doing the show.
We thought we were going to get suspended.
Yeah, we walked off.
Was that a private course?
Yeah, in the Sherwood. And the GM came to us and said, I'm proud of you guys.
Yeah.
He didn't care.
Wow, still going on back then.
Yeah. We walked. Still going on. All right, coming up next, I will get to the blue check mark, gray check mark, all that stuff, and all the fake tweets that went out today. And on top of that, let's do this. Woj with a Lakers prognosis, not just for this year, but also for next year.
Next year already?
Talk about glass half empty.
Yeah, I don't know if I want it. Do I want to hear this?
We don't have. We only got two guys on the contract next year.
Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, no, it's definitely exactly. That didn't go on the air, did it? No. So ESPN LA and Subaru have teamed up to recognize and award a student, scholar, athlete $2,500 in cash. For all you high school coaches, parents, nominate your child or student who has excelled in the classroom and on the field. He or she needs to be a high school senior and have a 3.2 grade point average or higher, plus be playing a sport. Go to ESPNLA.com. That's ESPNLA.com to make your nomination today. Love, it's what makes Subaru. Subaru.
What was your grade point average in high school, Mace?
We talked about this yesterday. I got 1B in high school.
Really? The whole 4 years?
Yeah, 1B.
Wow.
It was
You mean the rest was C's or A's?
Mr. Moffitt and algebra screwed me.
So the rest was C's or B's?
Did you get it?
A's.
Did you have over a 4.0 because you took placement classes?
I took, it's like 4.4 or something like that.
Why'd you go to Toledo?
What's that?
Why'd you go to Toledo? Why'd you go to like
Bowling Green? I got a full scholarship, full academic.
Why'd you go
scholarship
to Ohio State, a better school or something?
Because they didn't offer me 4 years of free school.
I don't know, what was your GPA?
3.8
in high school.
Yeah, and then UCLA 2.8.
Oh, the fraternity got you.
Yeah.
Or hey, what was yours in high school?
2.8 just to make the soccer team. Yeah.
What was yours, Michael?
About a 3. 3 is good enough.
Yeah.
That's why. Why you stay eligible?
Interesting thing about Michael and everyone in his family. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
No one in Michael's family, including him, has ever had to make a resume.
Yeah, that's true. That's
sports.
Right.
Sports. As long as you get in sports, you're straight.
Resumes. You remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I can't remember the last time I had a resume.
Yeah. Michael's never had one ever.
No.
Mine's just like I would hand them a tape and say, this is what I do.
There you go.
This is me. All right. So this is the weirdest thing. Last night, Elon Musk, who bought Twitter, decided all of a sudden that there were going to be gray check marks.
All of a sudden.
Literally all of a sudden.
I'm just looking. I still have my blue.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to pay for it, right?
He's taking away the blues, supposedly next week, but he's giving out grays.
Mason, you still have your blue.
I still have my blue.
Yeah.
They're giving grays for free. And grays are supposed to be verified people. Now, last night, amongst the people who had gray check marks was a fake LeBron James who announced he wanted to be traded. LeBron James with a Z, and it had a gray check mark.
Was that where the fake Adam Schefter came from?
Fake Adam Schefter had a gray check mark. And then all of a sudden, Elon Musk said, you know what? We're not going to do the gray check marks after all. So they're all gone now. Mm-hmm. It's like it's completely out of control. We've got to figure out where we're going to do social media when this thing explodes. He's just on a whim.
Maybe
I'll
we'll
add
go
gray
to this,
check marks, I'll take away gray check
we'll
marks.
Maybe we'll go to this blue sky thing.
Yeah, the blue sky social that Jack Dorsey's doing, that sounds good. Blue sky sounds positive. It'll get negative really fast, but
yeah.
But it sounds
for
positive,
now,
at least.
It's positive.
At least.
Yeah.
By the way, Andy Kamenetsky got totally schnookered by the fake Adam Schefter, Josh McDaniel got fired tweet.
Yeah,
Josh McDaniel.
I think a lot of people probably
has not been fired,
unfortunately.
Despite what was the handle at Adam Schefter fake?
Something not like Adam that. Schefter.
Not Adam.
Schefter. Adam
Schefter.
Yeah. Not.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's so random, out there. Now I promised you that I would play something from Woj. This is Woj, and Tyler, you pulled this. Where did this come from?
I think he was on Get Up.
It came from Get Up.
I think it was on Get Up.
So here's Woj on the Get Up this morning.
So you're saying there's no cavalry coming. We have talked a lot early this season about the possibility of some trades. It does not sound to me like that is still in your head right now.
Well, I think for the Lakers, you know, we've talked about this. They're really the only assets they have to 2027, 2029 first round picks. They have tremendous value around the league, because people don't think the Lakers will be good in those years, certainly. Those will be high draft picks. And, you know, the Lakers' strategy continues to be they're not moving those picks unless they can get back a package that makes them dramatically better. Because once they use those, that's their team, whether it's the trades we talked about, they talked about with Utah, with Indiana. That limits them for really any moves they can make for years to come. There's no getting around the fact that this team, this is very likely going to be a lottery team again this season. Mm. And, of course, you know, that New Orleans trade for Anthony Davis, this is a season when the Pelicans get a pick swap. So they can flip picks with the Lakers. And that potential Lakers lottery pick, it's going to New Orleans, where they have restocked their franchise, their organization, with tremendous young talent, much of which from the Anthony Davis trade, and there's more on the way likely.
So, lottery team this year. Did he indicate? He's actually talking about the 2027 and the 2029 picks could be good because the Lakers aren't going to be very good. Is that
right.
Really his diagnosis?
Yeah, he's predicting a bleak future. I personally, just me,
yes,
would probably do that Buddy Hield, Miles Turner deal.
Oh, interesting.
Because I think it capitalizes on the window you have with LeBron. But I understand what Woj is saying and why you might not want to do it. Because if it's the only capital you have,
yes,
you may want to wait until you find out, Michael, what great players might become available. I would have no problem with them waiting.
I just can see it now. Let's say the Lakers do make the lottery. New Orleans gets the pick.
Oh,
guess what's
going to
happen?
And they get one by honor. Oh.
That wouldn't be fit.
Oh, the gods, would that be painful?
The gods would do that to us, would they?
Oh, God. We would just curse for a week if that's what they got. Now, we got Anthony. Now, I suggested yesterday, and a lot of people jumped in this, that they should, one of their tradable assets is Anthony Davis. I mean, for me, I don't, this is a little like the Rams. I don't see it. Like, I don't see how the Lakers are going to be a playoff team. I don't see the pieces there. So why move picks to tink? Now, granted, Buddy Hield, great shooter. Miles Turner gives you a big who can shoot. I just don't think that puts them in the championship conversation.
Puts them in the mix, though.
Puts them in the play-in, maybe?
No, better than that, because Miles Turner could really
protect
the
rim. You think better than the play-in?
Miles Turner had a monster game two nights ago.
Yeah, he can play, man.
You think they can be the six?
If they can get those two guys, they could get up in the top six.
Well, do it.
They got a shooter.
That trade has been laying there for
and Miles,
2 months.
Miles says he wants to play for the Lakers. He's a great rim protector, probably one of the best in the league, one of the best two or three. I love that.
But look, I'll say this. You cannot blame Westbrook for what's going on.
No, Westbrook, he's vying for sixth man of the year.
You cannot blame Westbrook. Nope. It's like everybody wanted to dump on Westbrook for including me.
On Monday night, Mace, this was Miles Turner's line against the Pelicans.
Okay.
37 minutes, 37 points, 11 of 18 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, 12 rebounds, and 3 blocks.
Wow.
What if I told you
he's on my fantasy team, and I knew all that?
Yeah, I mean, so you get better the second you make that trade.
Yeah,
and I think it's about capitalizing.
But the
on
question
LeBron's
is,
window.
Do you get good enough?
Yeah, because every time you got to remember too, every time the Lakers have a Bahamian on the team, they win a championship.
Oh, is that what it is?
Me.
You were the last Bahamian?
Rick Fox.
Oh, Rick Fox. Sure.
Yeah,
of course.
See, so can't go wrong.
All right. Let's see. Well, don't forget tomorrow. We are live and in person. And when I say we, I mean me and Bergman. And
Jorge will come
Chris
after.
Morales.
I'll be there after.
Jorge will stop out after. We're going to be at Bastards Canteen.
You going with that voice?
Yeah.
Bastards Canteen in downtown Downey to celebrate the 247th Marine Corps birthday. Bastards Canteen, owned by Marine veterans. It's a big Veterans Day bash. You are invited to come out and hang out with us. All kinds of stuff. Kind of a big festival sort of environment. I'll be there with Andy and Greg and Morales and Boss Amanda from 1 to 4 and then 4 to 7. Cappy and Shadano will be there. So it's going to be a good day. It's Veterans Day this week. Make sure you find a way to honor our veterans.
Is that a good name for a canteen? Bastard. Bastard is an unpleasant or despicable person.
Yeah, but I think there's a story behind it.
Yeah, I think there is, Michael.
Really?
But we'll figure it out.
Bastard.
All right, coming up next is Bobcat. Bergman's got a whole bunch of stuff that he's going to throw at us.
And in the meantime, I want to tell you about the ESPN bundle. You can stream live sports and original content with ESPN Plus today. You get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library, unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events every year, thousands of hours of college sports. Get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundle today. Watch ESPN Originals, the 30 for 30s, the entire Disney and Marvel library, and more. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNLABundle.com to learn more. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so in for corporate Greg today is producer in training Tyler, and I shouldn't say producer in training because he already produces stuff here, right?
Me. Yeah, I do.
You've produced other stuff.
I do Bet LA with Anita Marks, and then I do the Weekend Warrior
Excellent.
Show with Clappers.
And you're going to fill in for Bergman, and Bergman's you're a dead ringer for him?
It's Bergman's body double.
Yeah. So what do you got
Tyler,
there, Tyler?
What do you got?
All right, so the TSA just busted someone trying to smuggle a Glock inside of a chicken.
What?
I know. What's the craziest thing you've tried to sneak through a security checkpoint, and were you successful?
All right, so when I was in college, I was going to a Bruce Springsteen concert, and I had an attractive girlfriend.
Yes.
And we were drinking a lot of rum and coke back in those days.
Okay.
So I had a small, like hotel room size bottle of Bacardi.
Okay.
And I said, what is the best way to get this in? And she goes, I got it. And she takes it and puts it right down her pants, like right down the front of her, she had a pair of jeans on, right down the front of her jeans in the middle, and okay, just leaves it there. Little tiny bottle. So I walk through and the guy pats me down, no problem. She walks through, no problem. And as she's walking away, the guy does one last reach around and taps her on the belt.
Really?
A guy not supposed to touch a woman.
I know. And he goes, and she goes, and I look at her like, did he get it? Did he get it? And she goes, and he starts, the guy knew exactly what he was doing. He knocked the bottle loose and it worked it way, it way down the jeans. And he looks at me and he goes, wait for it. And the bottle goes down her leg, out her boot, and he picks it up. And I look over to the trash and there's like 100 of these.
Yeah,
bottles.
Right.
People had been trying the same scam all night.
But wait a minute. When was that? What year was that?
1984.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They have women to touch the women.
Yeah.
So I.
Well, that guy had a good job when the girls came through.
Yeah. 3-4 years ago, I used to vape. Okay, so you guys are aware of vaping.
Yes.
That happens near
everybody here. I play golf with still does it now.
Okay, so I used to vape, and I forgot my vape was in my pocket. So I went to Dodger Stadium, and I was going through security, and I'm like, oh, God, I still have this vape. And he goes, are you going to use it? I said, no, I promise I will not use it. He said, okay, I'll let you bring it in. That was the only time, and I would never vape in a public setting. I wouldn't go to a game and do it like you guys say. You've got somebody vaping in your
yeah,
neighborhood. At,
interesting that happened because a friend of mine, and I didn't know he did this. It was me, my friend, and Jack were going to a Dodger game, and he had a pack of Marlboros, and I didn't realize he had taken 3 or 4 of the cigarettes out and put 3 or 4 joints in there,
yeah,
and he just put it on the table.
Sure.
Thinking they'd never open it. Sure enough, they opened it, and they didn't. They confiscated it, and they didn't arrest him, but they didn't let him come in.
Right.
They said, you're on your own.
Do you realize at Rams games, they've got these brand new magnetometers, you know, the things you walk through, where you don't have to take everything out of your pocket.
They can see what it is.
They can see whatever it is, and like, you don't have to take your phone out of your pocket, anything. You just walk right through the magnetometer. It's actually pretty cool.
Bobcat.
All right, so the IMG Academy, which essentially is a prep school in Florida that prepares high school kids for college sports.
Sure.
Beat a team from Toronto on Friday 96-0.
Yeah, I saw that.
The game was called at halftime.
So it was 96-0 at the half.
At the half, and it was called Mercy Rule. In the words of John Ireland, is this something or is this nothing?
Oh, there you go.
Michael, I don't think you can't take that game if you're IMG. You've got to do your homework and say if they can't form a competitive opponent, we can't play this team. 96-0 at halftime.
I would have cut the game at the first quarter.
First quarter.
45-0.
This is
this is something. You can't do that.
Yeah, plus you're just humiliating.
And by the
people.
Way, what's the other school thinking?
Right.
Would they schedule them?
Right. Yeah, you know what IMG is.
Yeah.
Right? They're a sports factory.
Yep.
That's where Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf came out of. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, 96-0. I think you'd have suspended that game after the first quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
or a, never should
that's
have
a
been
tough
scheduled.
Beat.
Yeah. That's
Bobcat.
A bad beat. Yeah.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
Okay, so Carlos sent us a video yesterday to me and Greg on the text thread, and it's Pat Beverly admitting that he spent over $250,000 at Ruth Chris when he's on the road, taking
what?
Family members and whatnot. Yeah.
Now we know who we're going to Ruth Chris with.
You're talking about throughout his career or?
No, throughout his career, yes. Okay. $250,000. Wow. What is the most you've spent on dinner, and is there a specific spot when you guys go on the road?
Well, Michael is very generous. Michael picks up the tab for dinner
a lot.
What's
the most expensive dinner you've
We've never
up.
Really gone.
No, we don't go crazy, but the most we've spent on a dinner with like 6 or 7 of us sitting around a table, with tip, wine, and stuff, ends up being around $1,800.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Like $2,000.
It's a lot.
But that's like 8 people.
For my mom's birthday, I think I spent $1,500. She and a bunch of her friends at a Mexican restaurant. Yeah. I that's probably the most expensive.
I spent $10,000 on Lisa's 30th birthday
no
dinner.
No effing way.
Yeah.
$10,000?
Yeah. For 40 people.
Oh, 40 Ooh. People.
Yeah, yeah, at a restaurant.
That's a
Did
big
you
deal.
Go to the one at my house that was Juan's birthday where we had steak?
I don't think
that
so.
That was an expensive one. Oh, you didn't make the cut on
cost
that
you?
One?
I doubt it.
What was the cost of
And if I did, I would have loved to have gone, but I just couldn't have made it.
Yeah, probably 2 grand. Bobcat. By the way, Roost Chris, very, very good. Oh, not at all my favorite steak.
Oh. A Boa just opened right next to my house.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, like, in the shopping mall that I live up against.
40-day dry age, gets a nice little crust on it. Boa's the best. Mm-hmm.
Put some ketchup on that.
Oh, and quickly, I just want to say this. Happy 11th anniversary. Today is my 11th. Anniversary with Brenda, so
happy for you.
Happy anniversary.
What about Brenda? No, that's a bad deal for her.
What are you getting her? What are you getting her?
It's a surprise. Michael can't tell.
She's listening.
Yeah, she is. She listens on the app at work. Yeah, yeah, we're good.
Tonight,
what kind of wine did you get for the night? You didn't go to 7-Eleven to get your wine.
No. I got it at I got good wine. Yeah,
Charles Shaw,
Are you cooking?
We got a Modelo. Yeah, I'm cooking, actually.
What are you making?
Making a nice, I got a nice New York steak waiting at home. I left it with the seasoning on top.
And candles and stuff?
What are you going to do with Maite?
Oh, Maite's going to be there with us.
Is she going to be there?
Yeah, of course.
You're supposed to give it to the grandma. So
she's with the grandma now, but, she'll be there.
Is it going to be like a romantic night?
No. It's just us three.
Here's the steak, lady. Thanks for...
No, we're doing something on Saturday, so that'll be a little...
Nice candlelit dinner?
Yeah, exactly.
Candlelight dinner.
Romance is still alive.
For now.
You're a Latino lover.
Latino heat, baby.
Latino heat, that's right. You and Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. Ooh, piece of candy.
Bobcat.
All right, so Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan will probably never be friends again. Isaiah said this to Eurohoops.net. Until I get a public apology, this beef is going to go on for a long, long time.
Because
I'm from the west side of Chicago.
Apology.
What's Michael got to apologize for?
Well, I banned him from the Dream Team.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I kicked him off the Dream Team. I don't want Isaiah there.
He goes, I'll play. They begged Michael Jordan to play on it, and they said, we've got Magic. We've got Karl Malone.
Now, Jordan in the Last Dance said he didn't do that.
He did do it.
But he said he didn't.
Well, everybody knows it, and somebody...
Somehow, I don't think... Apology is something in Jordan's bag.
Yeah, and by the way, Michael, think about it. Isaiah was the preeminent point guard in the NBA at the time, and Chuck Daly was the coach of the Dream Team, and he wasn't on it. What do you think happened?
That would break my heart, too, if I was Isaiah.
Yeah.
The best team ever, second best team ever assembled.
What was the first best?
The 68 Olympic track team by the USA. They had some legendary players on
that. Is that the one that had John Carlos and
Tommy Smith? Lee Evans, Bob Beeman. That was a phenomenal.
I met John Carlos. He lives out in Palm Springs.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
All right, so we don't think this ever comes to an end.
This gripe
between the two of them.
No.
Well, maybe when they're old and gray.
Jordan's not going to apologize.
Well, no, because
everybody thought Magic and Isaiah would never make up, and they made up. And
towards the end of their lives, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier made up. More so on Frazier's part, because Ali wasn't mad at
it. Those of us who lived through Kobe and Shaq would have said, no chance those guys ever make up, and they did.
They did.
Yeah. So there's
a chance.
Yep.
So,
Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton got back together.
Four times. Yeah.
Four times?
Yeah. They got married. Didn't they get married four
twice.
Times?
Yeah.
Twice. Yeah.
So she was two of his seven, or two of her seven were with him.
Yeah. So it could happen. You got to have faith in humanity.
I don't understand. How can them? If the marriage doesn't work, why would you go back to it?
Because
you've compared it to what else is out there.
Oh, I see. So you saw, it was probably better with her.
Yeah.
That's basically what he did.
Well, and it sounds like those two were genuinely in love, and all the other marriages were probably convenience, and it went. And then they got back together and went, why'd we ever break up?
Didn't she wind up marrying a guy who put aluminum siding on houses?
Yeah, Larry something.
Fortensky.
Very good.
He did the aluminum siding.
Exactly. Hey, she likes handyman.
Bobcat.
she must like the tools.
All right, Tyler, what do you got?
All right, so Palmer Luckey is a 30-year-old wonder kid that created the Oculus. He has now created a version of the Oculus that will actually kill you if you die in a video game that you're playing.
That sounds fun.
So wait a minute. You die in the video game and then it actually kills you?
It actually kills you.
And this is a product that you can purchase?
This is, I believe it's just in its concept phases.
They are beta testing this. People are dying around
They've got
the
a focus group set up. I'll send you the website.
How have they not had the crap suit out of them?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How do you die from a video game?
They have these. I looked at the story. They've got these little explosive devices around your head, and if you die in the game, it blows up.
Yeah,
and
basically,
you
have to see like a game over screen or something along the lines.
Yeah, literally game over.
And people have died from this.
Not yet.
No, I don't think it's going to be put to the test, Michael. But
wait a minute. That's the business model. That's what they're purporting.
It's been created as an idea, as a concept, but. Isn't this the kind of technology that we're worried about?
Oh, hey,
doesn't this just show what we're capable of
making? Well, no, I'm not for people getting the game over and dying on the Oculus.
I don't know about your people, Jorge, but black people ain't messing with this.
We're not buying that either.
Who the hell is going to do it?
I don't. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? You're Mr. Oculus.
No, you die.
Right.
Dead.
Well, you can't
Zero.
Die. You have a chip in your head at this point.
They're going to kill you when you die in the game. No, I think this is the weirdest idea in the world, and I can't even believe it exists.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, where'd you find that, Tyler?
Why not just play Russian roulette?
Yeah, right, Russian roulette. Go old deer hunter.
Yeah, exactly. My goodness. People got too bored.
That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you kind of went out with a whimper.
Yeah.
You can't. You did well until the
end. It should blow your head off.
Yeah. Bang. Game
Thanks,
over.
Thanks, Michael.
Game over. Put a bow on
Literally.
It. All right. Coming up next, everybody's investing in something that I think is like the stupidest idea in the world. And can Jimmy...
Crypto. I've told you that months ago.
Crypto is over $20,000 a coin.
Was it Clipper tickets?
No. Investing in something I think is ridiculous. And they've named an Oscar host. It's Jimmy Kimmel. Is it possible that he can win at this? We'll get to it coming up next, plus an update on Matthew Stafford. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.